Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 351. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me to a degree. This is the COVID-19 positive edition of the MMA Roadshow.
We're positively positive. I'm probably COVID-19 positive.
Well, listen, I had my bout a few months back. Maybe it's your time.
I think, and honestly, the symptoms of a flu and COVID are so close. I just think it's the end of the year cold. Flu, man, like body shakes, muscle aches, but my muscles are fucking like stiff neck. I feel like dog shit right now.
All right.
And it's just like, I'm like, it's so funny. We're sitting here and John's finishing like a story and stuff. And I'm just like, can we start? I was like, I might fall over and pass out here at the bar. So I apologize in advance of anything I say that's maybe inappropriate, uneducated. Slimy, sleazy, cheesy.
You can blame all that on COVID-19?
I am right now. FYI, this is the new bulletin straight from the people that do COVID bulletins.
So is that what says?
This is from Fauci.
So ridiculous. Well, listen, hopefully it is just a flu. Hopefully it is just a flu. I guess what you got to go test just to make sure.
You know, I'm gonna do the thing. I mean, I think we're so the like resources are so crazy. Task. Luckily, it's the UFC, so they got to test out the yin yang. I'm off tomorrow.
They might make you pay for it yourself.
So yeah, I know, right? I'm gonna stay home tomorrow and I'm gonna gauge and see how I feel. If the symptoms get worse or if it feels like, you know, I have no sore throat.
Right.
I just got an annoying fucking cough that keeps coming up and it's just the muscle aches and a giant fucking headache. It just literally feels like it could be
feels
the end
like
of the
flu,
year
right?
cold or a flu, you know.
And that's what's crazy nowadays, right? You just got to, you don't know. And now every time you think, it's, oh, is it cold?
Yeah. And luckily tomorrow with the schedule, we're able to kind of just, I'm able to stay home. I'm able to just do whatever. And even today we considered like doing this, whatever. But you're like, it's not like I'm swapping spit and throwing whatever at you or whatever.
Plus, bro, I got antibodies.
You got antibodies.
I'm good.
You're good. I'm pretty sure that the time that you got it, I'm pretty sure I got hit as well. But don't judge me. I was feeling a little iffy. I had a little sore throat, but I was like, dude, if I go get test positive, I was like, we're not going to have coverage.
Are you serious?
I was like, junkie, don't do that.
I didn't know that. I did not know that.
That I had a sore throat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a sore throat, and I was just like, I was like, should I go? And I was like, I don't want to be one of these guys that just immediately was like, oh, I feel ill. Let me go rush and think that the sky is falling.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I literally went just so I could get proof that
you
didn't have it.
You didn't even really feel that bad. You
know? I was just like, I want to make sure. Peace of mind.
Yeah, honestly, in 2 days, all the symptoms were gone. So I was like, you know, the vaccine did what it was supposed to do or whatever. So I'm hoping tomorrow with just rest and sleep, maybe some soup and just chilling at the house, I'll feel fine for Friday. But if I feel worse, then I'll go get tested just because, you know, I don't want to be just blatantly, you know, thrown it out there or whatever. But, you know, honestly, I don't go anywhere. I'm the most homebody motherfucker there is. Ever since they developed the I'm going to bring you groceries to your house, I barely even go to the store. I mean, I go to the UFC to work, and then I go home.
Love it.
I'm very exciting.
Love it.
I'm very exciting. You want to live in Vegas and be high rolling? Here you go.
That's hilarious. All right. Well, listen, it is a special once again. I don't think it's special anymore. I think this is the new night. I love Wednesday nights. I love Wednesday nights because, you know, we wrap
finished
up early
media day
at the UFC Apex. Yep. We roll right over here to Sierra Gold.
Only 12 people today?
Not bad.
Not 16 or 18.
12 is reasonable. We got through there, but we come right over here. We sit down. We grab a frosty beverage, and we do it. So I'm kind of like this. Once again, it was kind of necessary this week. Tomorrow morning, actually at 7 a.m., I'm flying out to Atlantic City for CFFC 104. So hopefully if you're ready for some MMA this weekend, you at least throw that on your schedule for Friday night. We've got a great card over there at CFFC 104. But I'm digging these new Wednesday nights, man. I think that's I'm you know what?
It's what the fans.
I mean, I'm sure
for.
We have to. I'm sure we have to consult the board of directors.
Yes.
I mean, there has to be an official
because there's billboards on the strip. They got to take down. You know, I'm sure that there was. You know,
didn't even think the marketing department is really going to be frustrated.
All
with
All the
us.
Emails, those blast emails that get sent around the world. You know that you know clearly detail every day. That
I mean,
we're
I can't see
stuff.
That the operations team would be that affected by it.
You know, they roll with the punches. I mean. mean, I pay them so well that they're top notch.
Yeah.
I mean, they can just pivot on a dime.
Really, just the marketing people that we didn't probably give them proper lead time. They're the ones going to be most affected.
You know, they're the ones that you never really see. There's so many. They have a whole building that we just never make it over to that building.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Well, look, guys, if the team's listening right now, we maybe jumped the gun on this. I want to apologize to the marketing team that whole. And you know what? The Christmas bonuses will reflect the extra work that this is going to cost you. And thank you.
That's it.
Thank you for your flexibility.
That's it, you know.
We'll have Kid Rock come play our part. I'll get Kid Rock in for the Christmas
Kid
party.
Kid Rick or something, his cousin or something.
Did you get any reviews of the Kid Rick?
You know, everybody that asked had the same sort of, like, response I did, where I was like, man, that's pretty cool that he played. I was like, I think I know two songs. I was like,
no, I bet you know more. You think you know two Kid Rock songs.
But I'm like, maybe? I know one of them that I was going to say is the one with Sheryl Crow, and I guarantee didn't play that one.
Didn't play that one.
You know, but still, it's
Who
still
knows?
Kid Rock.
Maybe he pulled somebody from the audience and got him.
I mean, I know he did like that. My name is.
Oh, you have? I mean, you're probably open with that
one. I mean, like, I can just imagine, like, the curtain dropping or whatever. That was the cool thing about back in the day. And that's what I tried asking one of the staffers today. I was like, did somebody let it out of the bag? Did somebody let the cat out of the bag? Did you know you were getting Kid Rock before? Back in the day, we didn't know who it was. So when we showed up at the party, we were like anticipation, like who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? We would roll in there and there were giant sheets and giant drapes that were covering the stage. We didn't know. Funny enough, the year that Snoop played, the weed made it to the front well before he
Is it Snoop?
Well before they ever actually dropped the curtain, I think we all had contact buzzes. But when they dropped it and there was the reveal, it was like, oh, my God, this is so awesome.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That I guarantee that same thing happened for everybody the other night as well. I mean, it's still Kid Rock. It's like, that's huge. I mean, I'm sure they spent some decent money, but a lot of the people were like, oh, man, it was cool hearing him. He actually sounded good, but, you know, as he was playing music, I went off to, like, the whiskey room. They had, like, a whiskey room with, like, a cigars or something. So I saw dudes, like, you know, showing pictures of cigars, which is cigar smoke carries through.
Was it at the Apex?
Everywhere. It was at the Apex.
And people were smoking cigars, you think, in the Apex?
Probably up in the VIP room or in another different room. Because when we did the last event there, when I was breaking down my stuff, I looked around the corner and someone was like, oh, yeah, they pulled out the octagon. I was like, why'd they pull out the octagon? They're like, oh, they're setting up the stage for the concert. And I was like, oh, shit. So they're doing it here. I was like, I mean, that's one of those things that, you know, you can't even fathom. It's not like Dana and them when they got it. It was always about getting something they could set up their own production, they could put on these events, save so much money. Now the fact that they're not renting out halls at the Red Rock casinos, they're not paying all these other things. They're just paying for catering. They were able to set it up, do it in their own property, and probably got to get a hell of a lot funkier than what they did at the Red Rock because they were at their own property.
Mm-hmm.
Even at the Red Rock, when you're in the rooms, you can get a little crazy. But even when you're in the bars or whatever, people got pretty wild and people are doing whatever. But you were still in somebody else's establishment.
Right.
You know, so the fact that they were at their work or whatever, I can see where some might be like, I work every day there. The last thing I want to do is go have a party there. But if you knew that you were able to kind of just let loose 1,000% open bar, Kid Rock's on the, you know, jamming on the stage, you got food, you got good food, and they usually always have great catered food, at least when it was at the Red Rock. So I imagine they still had great catering. I doubt they had the kitchen staff just put stuff together. Catered it.
You think it was like every media meal we've ever had. They had all those.
Today's media meal was the leftover beef and broccoli that they served at the holiday meal. But everybody seemed to enjoy it, man. I was jelly. I'm not going to lie. You know, I saw pics of it, and I was like, oh, man. I was a little jealous, you know, but I was happy that they were getting back to a sense of what it was before. Like, for many years, they stopped doing the live concerts.
It's been a while, right?
A long time. You know, they were doing like, hey, guys, we're doing bowling night and we're doing whatever, which is cool and it's fine. But when you go from fucking Kid
Chili
Rock,
Peppers.
You know, go for Snoop Dogg, and then you got Chili Pepper the next year. And then it's like, oh, we're supposed to have No Doubt and Gwen Stefani. And then it's like, oh, well, we can't have them right now. She's pregnant or blah, blah, blah. And then it was just like nobody. And then they had that blues musician whose name is escaping me right now. People said they liked it, but it was another friend of Dana's. I mean, these are people that are friends of Dana.
Yeah.
Dana reaches out and does whatever, and he's able to get them. So it's not like they voted on, hey, guys, who do you want to play the party? It's like, who has the connections with Dana, but they're always solid performers. But everybody seemed to make it like they had a great time. But yeah, you know, good for them. I mean, like Dana, if anything, if there was ever a signal to what Dana said at the press conference the other day when somebody asked him, look at the year in review. How was this year for the UFC? And he was like,
Record year.
Better than ever. And if there was anything to sort of prove that, look at the holiday party. They started spending again at the holiday party. They brought a huge artist out to enjoy all the hard work that they did, you know? And as much as some people might say, oh, what's that for the fighters? Blah, blah. It's a totally different thing.
It's a different side of the business.
Let the staff that gets so overworked and just underpaid and undervalued, let them have their one night that they can just, you know, beat their chest. Let's fucking go. And
who would do that?
Yeah, I know, right? And have their moment. And everybody seemed to be really, really happy with it. So I'm super, super stoked that they had a great year, that they could bring that back. That was one of the best memories I had of working at the UFC, because my first year when I started working there, I started the middle of the year, and the holiday party was like 3 or 4 months later, and I was like, oh, my God, this company is insane. I started working at it, and 5 months later, I'm seeing Snoop Dogg
on
stage.
What have I gotten myself into?
This is pretty
cool.
Your
first event, Rampage slaps you in the face. Your first Christmas party. You're like, what is this company that I'm a part of?
You know, so good on them. You know, as much as people, you know, gripe about the pay and do other stuff, you know, they have some of the hardest working staff members.
Yeah.
I appreciate so much what those guys do, and they try to do it with as much as a smile as they can in an environment that is very, very tough and very, very demanding.
A lot of thankless work,
so much.
And a lot of work. And you're right, man. It's round the clock for these people, man.
They all wear multiple hats too. It's like your job might be like, oh, you have to do this, but it's like, oh, we have this need over here, but hey, the broadcast is going. We have to get this done. Like, you're like, oh, well, I want to go home and spend time with the family. We have a deadline. You're like, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to see my family tonight, you know. And that's just kind of the culture. Is that good? No, but is that something
tough, right?
That exists in this world? It does.
End up burning through some people, but,
that's,
you know,
it.
It is. It's cool. Like you said, it's cool that they get, you know, treated VIP. They get the royalty treatment at once. So, well, listen, while we're talking about that, you know, it's funny. You mentioned before we sat down and started recording, I was working on a story. It kind of relates to this in an indirect way because, you know, a big story over the last couple of days was that the UFC was going to make the athletes in the corners pay for their own COVID tests. And, of course, it was Ariel Helwani who put out that initial report. The UFC has since issued an official policy literally just minutes ago that said that's not the case, and actually kind of went out of their way to label the reports incorrect and irresponsible. So, and Ariel, to his credit, came back and said, no, it's not incorrect, irresponsible. I have proof that, you know, this is what was going on. I will say this.
And it might have been for some.
Here's what I think kind of happened. And I talked to some people behind the scenes. Here's what I guess happened. And of course, I mean, we know Ariel as a reporter, you know, he's going to stand by his word, and he's, you know, he understands the type of information you need to get. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like he's out there just, you know, irresponsible.
His sources are pretty good. Yeah, pretty reputable.
Here's what I think happened. Again, this is me guessing, but here's what I think happened. This week's fighters were the first week's fighters that were asked to go get the tests on their own. Okay? So UFC Fight Night 199, Lewis versus Dawkins, which we'll talk about in just a minute. These were the first group of athletes that were asked to go get their own testing.
Was it everybody or just the unvaccinated?
Everybody. No, it's everybody. Yeah, so we speculated that maybe because, you know, that was when I initially saw that report, that was my initial speculation too. So for people that don't know, and I'm sure this is happening all over the country, but here in Las Vegas, the major hotels are saying, look, we can't require our employees to be vaccinated, but here's what we're saying. If you're not vaccinated, you got to go get tested every single week. And it's on you to pay for it.
Yep.
And so what happens? The employees go, well, I'm not going to do that, so I'll go get vaccinated. So that's when the report first came out, that's what I thought. I was like, ooh, I bet it's for the unvaccinated people, and that's the way the U.S. No, that's not the case. It's for everybody, okay? But here's what I think happened is up till now, the UFC has been shipping tests to all the athletes so that they can take it themselves, ship it back in, get it all done, and that's how it gets cleared, right? And the thinking behind that was we'll make it as easy on the athletes as we can because you'll remember at first it was kind of tough to get tests in some places.
Yeah.
Well, now it's pretty easy to get tests anywhere. Yeah. And in fact,
and that process seems completely foolproof. You know, just sending tests to
Well, that's the other thing. I'll be honest with you. Those in-home tests. Are you, if you gave me a swab and told me you stick it up my nose, bro, it's touching like maybe the bridge.
Because I got two different ways. Like when everybody was talking about the nasal test, I was so fearful of getting the nasal test. And one of the first times I had a nasal test, I swear to God, I was like, did she even really enter the nasal cavity? It was just like right on the inside. She was like, you know, blow your nose so you get a little bit of your goo in there or whatever. Right. And I was like, okay, maybe that's the kicker.
Right.
As long as they're getting pay dirt, you know, maybe you don't need to go further down into the throat, you know, if they're making you clear that stuff up. Because if your nose is completely dry and you're just swabbing right in that area, while it's much more pleasant than sticking it down the back of your throat, you're not going to get what you need to test or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, when I got my first nasal test, I was like, why was everybody bitching about it? I was like, that was nothing. And then I realized, oh, I didn't get to the same degree that the first wave of people were. They were, gagging. Like, I watched your video. I watched Adam Hill's video. I watched all these videos. And I was like, dude, I'm never going to test that
way. I don't ever want to do that. I hate it. Oh, that Jacksonville one, man. That messed me up. So, you're right about that. So, I've always wondered about these home tests, how good they could be anyway. Yeah. That, to me, is not why they did this. But from my understanding, is like, basically what happened was the people that I talked with said, look, it is so low cost now. There's some places right now you can go get it for free. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, they're like,
it's CVS pharmacies.
It's so easy. They're like, it's just much easier to just have the athletes go get the test and send it in. But it was never going to be costing. But here's what I think happened. From what I was told, the UFC never intended for the fighters to be out of pocket for it. I mean, if you think about the millions of dollars that they've already invested at this point, what do you think they're trying to save? $50? You know, come on. What are they going to save per card? But what happened was this was the first week of fighters, and I think what happened was somebody probably who is used to, you know, getting their test shipped to them was told to go get the test themselves, and they were like, what, we're going to have to pay for testing now? And maybe they talked to a medical coordinator, maybe they didn't. From what I understand, the policy literally just went out today.
Yeah.
So these athletes were being asked to do something.
To pay something up front, even though they would get reimbursed.
But they didn't know they were going to be reimbursed because the policy was not distributed until today.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense.
I think what happened was this was a work in progress,
right,
and not all the communication necessarily got done. And so somebody went to Ariel, of course, and was like, you're not going to believe what they're making us do now. They're making us cover our own testing. It's like, no, hold on. We asked you to go do it this time. We fully intended to pay you back. Yeah. Obviously, all the on-site testing is still happening. Yeah. The Residence Inn, the Holiday Inn, they're still doing it. So all that stuff is still happening. So, and I don't want to make it seem like – because I'm not trying to bash Ariel. That's definitely not what I'm doing here. So I don't want to make it sound like that. I think what happened was whoever told him what was going on – again, he says he has proof that that's not the case. But in talking to the people with the UFC, at least, I think maybe there was a bit of a miscommunication.
And there could have been like two drafts of a document that comes out and said, this is how we're addressing it. And if the first draft that came out – didn't properly state, hey, we will reimburse you or we will do whatever. Maybe it was just initial, like, something that where maybe at the bottom it said, contact us if you have questions.
Right.
And, you know, where, but while they read is like, oh, hey, we have to go get this test on our own and send the results in. Whereas if they call them, they say, oh, no, yes, sorry, yes, no, we're going to reimburse you for it. We just need you to go get the test. And maybe they send out a different document. So I could see where there could be a version where they're like, I have proof. I have this.
Right.
And it's like, well, dog, you know, you got how many drafts of the fight card go out before it's done? Did you see the mistake on the fight card today?
No.
It had both of them listed at ESPN Plus prelims.
Oh, they both said prelims.
And I was just like, oh, that's another draft.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I see it right here. In fact, I had the fight card in front of me. They both say prelims. Hey, there's no main card this week. Yay!
That's it. Yeah, easy night. But that's the thing. Like, drafts come and go. I mean, like, it just depends on which one. Like, if you take what you have in front of you as gospel, you could go online right now and say, I have documentation that says there is no ESPN Plus mains. I have the fight card.
Right.
Just two different levels of prelims. But they could say, well, no, that's not true.
It's just a typo or whatever.
It's just a typo, just whatever. I mean, who knows? I mean, I
think it's easy. I think people jump on it right away because I saw everybody like, oh, my God, the UFC just said they had a record year, and now they're making athletes cover the cost of the test. Yeah. I can't believe that. But what I would say to people is sometimes when you read something that seems so ridiculous that you're like, how does that even make any sense? Maybe pause for a second and
dive
think
a little further.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Something's not adding up here. This isn't making sense. And again, I'm not in any way am I trying to bash Ariel or say he got anything wrong. If he says he has proof, then I'll believe him. He's obviously a very established reporter.
And that's the thing,
I think there was some miscommunication along the line.
Because if you think about it, what he's built for himself is great. The last thing he wants to do is go out and put false information and then put your name behind it. I'm sure for whatever he put out, he was completely 100% sure that what he was putting out was absolutely
right.
correct.
Right.
You know, things change. We put stuff out sometimes, and then you have to do a correction. You know, yeah. like, it happens. I doubt there was any sort of, if it was incorrect at the time, I doubt there was any sort of malicious intent or any sort of, you know, subversive tactic that he's trying to, like, I'm going to get this out, and I just yeah. want people to talk about it or whatever. Like, that's not, I've never known Ariel to be that way.
Yep.
I guarantee what he did was what he acted upon the information that he had his hand at that time, and he believed it to be completely right. And it probably was at that time.
It's just, if you think about it, and I was told again, I was the folks I spoke to, and I spoke to a couple people at the USC, said, look, there was never any intention of us passing the cost on to the athletes. And again, you know, somebody can sit back and be like, well, I don't trust the USC. They're lying to you. And that's fine if you feel that way. But what I would say is, I mean, look at how much money we're talking about, okay? Yeah. Think about what we're talking about. $50 tests, that's where the USC is going to cut money on? Like, come on, man. Like, yeah. that's – I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that the PR hit from that would be, like, ridiculous. Because yeah. it would look absolutely stupid if you're like, hey, you're required to have this test, by the way, but we're not paying. And I can tell you right now
– especially with Dana at the helm.
Like, when the report first came out, I reached out to PR, and I'll just say PR told me, like, I'll be honest with you, I have not heard this, but I will find out what's going on with you. So, I mean, yeah. again – I think it was a work in progress. I think it was a miscommunication. I know it's easy sometimes to villainize the UFC, but I don't think in this yeah. particular case that's exactly what was going on.
I agree with you 100%. And the thing is, like, and when I say, like, you know, as long as Dana's at the helm, like, Dana, you know, while he will come out and say, like, this is bullshit, this, of course he's never going to pass the buck on something like that to his fighters if he knows that this is what we're being asked by the state to put on an event. They want these tests. They want this, whatever. Of course we're going to take care of our fighters. That's what they've always done.
Right.
I mean, when it got to a point where they were putting no events, what did he do with his staff? He kept his whole staff, minus Fiasco Jones, on the books. He kept the whole staff
except for one guy
who happened to go on there and make a bad joke about another executive. That wasn't even a good joke. It was like... like, whatever. It was, like, so lame, but whatever. Rehire Fiasco.
Pour one out for the homie.
Hashtag rehire Fiasco. He seems to be happy where he's at. There was
Get to the Kid Rock concert, though.
That's true. I don't think Fiasco is a big Kid Rock person.
No, I can't see that.
I think Kid Rock's a little too happy for him. I think he'd be like, grunge it up or something. I mean, like, it's funny. When Charlie was a baby, his kid, he was listening to, like, death metal and like stuff, and I'm just like, what are you doing to your fucking baby, Fiasco? Like, stop. He's gonna be just like you when he grows up.
nobody wants
another Fiasco.
Oh my goodness. And what, he's Fiasco? Our friend. And he's
oh, I
our
love him
friend.
I tease with him, but there was a position that opened up at MGM right now. I was asking for a video manager of something, and I was going to fucking push it towards Fiasco. Like, dude, you should try to reach out. Because casinos, man, even though the MGM for a while there was hurting.
Not now.
I think they're back on the mend, man.
Casinos
so that's
are crushing.
Probably like a good deal. So.
Casinos are crushing.
He wants to get out from underneath that fitness company.
I mean, right now he's working in his passion, so it's got to be difficult to walk away from it. You know what I mean?
Like, oh.
You know our group of friends in fitness.
Shamooga, shamooga.
All right, UFC Fight Night 199. I will not be there, of course, on Saturday night. You will. The young Mike Bond is with you
maybe.
As well. That is true. Will depend on how this test result comes back. You may or may not be there.
We're going to hope for the best.
Hope for the best. If not, it might be the young Mike Bond rolling video duties on his own.
Well, he'll at least be shooting. I'll still be doing it remotely or whatever, which is the great thing about this. Like, you know, with – like, because the great thing about this, like, disease and other little stuff.
COVID-19.
Is that it's not completely debilitating. Like, we can actually be home and do the work that we need to. It's not like I need to be at least anywhere I'm feeling where. I mean, I'm not trying to lighten the thing. There are some serious cases
for the most part,
people can work from home they're fine.
I could have worked. Like, when I was at home, and I did work. The only days I had off were days I already had scheduled off.
Right.
You know, so, you know.
So that's the worst case is that, you know, the young Mike Bond might have to be back in the back with the other two media members.
Let me tell you something about Media Day today.
Let's talk.
At one point, there were five of us there, okay? Yeah. At one point, there were five of us. Three of us worked for MMA Junkie. three of us work for MMA Junkie.
That's the funniest part is like, because there's some media days, there's not even five media.
Right.
But the fact that there were three from one outlet today was pretty epic.
And
I was surprised.
At one point, they pulled Diego.
Yeah, Diego went
because
to go
he went to go
Portuguese
in the back
in the
so
back.
That he could do his scrums in Portuguese because he works for a Portuguese language site.
Imagine that.
So then there were four, and three of us worked for MMA Junkie. That was if there ever felt like a media day where it's just like, yo, this is the end of the year, and we got like 3 weeks off coming up, it was today. It was today.
So funny. But we still brought it. You still brought it.
I still brought it. I tried
like
to
every media every fighter that came in there, none of them had on their face like, oh, this is what they have. The only person that kind of played around with it was Derek.
All right, so Derek
that was so much fun.
So if you want to go check out the Derek, I mean, obviously most people probably want to check out Derek anyway, but I did think Derek was in really good form today. Because you know what, I'll say this, because he's always entertaining, but I think sometimes he doesn't really feel like giving answers, like, so he just kind of like gives jokes. Today I thought
we
see
that from a lot of fighters too, where they're like ask me anything that's not fight related.
But today he was good, you know. He talked about the fact that, which I didn't realize this, and I remember, and maybe I missed it, but, you know, he was talking about the Ciryl Gane fight and how it was the 13-year anniversary to the day that he walked out of jail. Now, I do remember them.
That's crazy.
I do remember them playing packages before that fight about, like, you know, where he had come from and what he had gone through.
Yeah.
But I don't know if anybody knew that was the 13-year anniversary, because I don't remember hearing that. So
That's a huge speaking point.
And he was saying, man, because I think we all felt that night, right, that he looked like he was feeling the pressure. Like we all said. But we thought it was, you know, title fight in front of his hometown in Houston. Yep. This isn't good. Yep. And he said today, no, it wasn't that. He's like, I want to keep fighting in Houston. I love Houston. It's my hometown. I want to keep fighting there. He's like, it was just that day. In my head, I was thinking, man, on the day I walked out of prison, on the anniversary of that, I could become a UFC champion. And, like, I imagine at that point, man, you're just it just does weird things to your head. So he gave some great answers. So he really did get some thoughtful, insightful answers today. But there was one point where he was like, how many of y'all are there here? Because there was only I think there were still five of us at that point. Maybe we were down to four at that point.
I think there were just four of us.
So we were just down to four.
Yeah,
so he was like, so we just started making jokes about, over to your left, down here in front, over to your right. You know what I mean? Like, he was cracking up. So he was in good spirits. Derek was in good spirits today.
You guys should go back and listen to it. I mean, like, he was definitely, like, and I think that's one of the things, like, I think people have gotten Derek on some fight weeks, and some people are like, oh, is he taking it serious? Is he whatever? I think if you're at that level, you need to do what you need to do to stay comfortable, stay easy. Like, if you know that you're going to have issues dealing with, like, even fight week stuff, here's another big week. It's not title implication, but it's still a main event. The pressure that he has to carry on it. So that means he's feeling at unease and he needs to make awkward jokes during the media day. That's fine. Like, that sounds completely normal to me. But I can see where some people are like, man, I just wish he would take fight week seriously. You know, it's like, bro, if you're having millions of eyes look at you and you're feeling the pressure and you need to make an awkward fart joke about being on a plane, make the fart joke.
Which he did.
Which he did. And it was fucking hilarious, you know. I love Derek. Listeners of the show know I've homered for Derek forever, and I'll continue homering until the end of my days or whatever. There's some people that when you reach a point where you vibe with the person, you get it, you know. Like, I've had the man over to like break bread at my house, you know. Like, you know, he was like Heather's favorite like fighter,
right?
So just like, this dude's in my heart. So, like, when he comes at the fight, I'm like, he can do no wrong. I'm like, dude, I love Derek. I was like, this one, I'm like, please, though, please let this be the fight that you get the shit right in. Because he has a tough, tough dude in front of him.
But I'm like, man,
if you lose to a guy that is on his sixth fight,
yep.
I'm like, what does that say when you were just fighting for the title, you know? And, you know, it gives me all the worries and all the feels. Like, I'm so happy to see him, but I'm so effing nervous for him because where he's at in his career, what this fight means for him.
Yeah.
I'm a mess.
This is a tough one, man. This is a tough one. Obviously, look, for me, I'm very torn. Obviously, Texan and Derek Lewis, yeah. Obviously, you know, always been good to us, man. You know, and early in his career when we really kind of latched on to him, you know, he took us out to eat crawfish. And, you know, I mean, he's always been good to us.
Mike's?
Yeah, Mike Seafood, man. he's always been good to us. Then, meanwhile, Chris Daukus, obviously a CFFC champ. You know, I'm tied to anybody that comes out of that organization because I've seen them rise. I mean, when you see people go from the regional level trying to make it to fighting in a UFC main event, and this dude has done it so fast, it's amazing. And, you know, a stylistic matchup that's difficult, right? Because any heavyweight has heavy hands. Now, Derek has the heaviest of heavy hands, but Chris can hurt you with his hands.
And he hasn't taken damage over all these years. He hasn't taken the damage, you know? So you figure that his chin's still there, you know?
Yep.
And that's the biggest thing you need with these big boys.
And Chris has grappling too, man, and that's scary.
It's a scary match.
It's a scary matchup. To be honest with you, I still got to turn in my picks. Let's not talk about picks. I still got to send them in, but let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about it. Let's talk about
You're lucky, Matt Erickson. Let's not talk about picks.
Let's not talk about picks. Let's not talk about picks. No, listen, my lead is down to two.
Yeah.
Down to two.
Has he turned in his picks?
I don't know. I didn't ask. Oh, that's not right for me to ask that.
I fucked up this year because I was trying to battle with you and I fucked myself up.
No, so
I was
what we're doing. Against you. So here's what we do. This is what we always have done, and Matt sent it out that way too. So anytime there's a close battle where it can be decided on the final card, those two people send in their picks privately. So it's not on the group email anymore.
That didn't happen before.
No, it's always – I
guess I wasn't close when I was done it.
We've always done it only if first place is up for grabs. If it's you know, the difference between fourth and seventh or whatever, it doesn't matter. But if first place is up for grabs, we've always said you send in your picks privately. So I haven't sent my picks in. I got to send them in tonight. Yeah, I'm two ahead. I've never won. I've been second. I've been third. I've been
you
obviously.
Pick it up, son.
I've been
a part of this. This podcast already has one championship.
Know,
we need a second championship.
The real fight expert of our podcast is you, and I'm just trying to weasel in there.
You know. I mean, when you're looking for stats, the little hidden knowledge of things, you know.
You go to Coke Coffee.
I got you.
I tell you what, though, man. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm leaning towards Daukus in this one because of that.
And it's not a bad play. It really,
because
really
of that,
isn't.
You know. And I think he's actually the betting favorite as well. So it's not like I'm making some shocking revelation. But you know, for Derek, I do look at this as it's not a bad spot because you know, I mean, if you lose, it's not great.
It's
but the great thing about Derek is Derek is so popular.
Yeah.
And that. You know, you can put him anywhere in the division. So if he loses, I don't think it totally screws him up.
You know, one of the other guys that was very popular? Yoel Romero.
Ah, true.
And they got rid of him.
True.
But you're right. I think Derek definitely doesn't – I mean, maybe his popularity is so high. But, I mean, like, this is so dangerous for him. I mean, because you're right. I mean, Chris has the ground game. I mean, he's got a chin. He hasn't taken all the damage. He's got the people behind him as well. He was a cop. We just figured out in the press conference or the media day today that he's no longer a police officer because they wouldn't let him have the time to really take a leave of absence to focus.
Can we just call out
me.
The Philly Police Department right now?
Philly, what are
you know what, actually,
doing?
I'm not going to call out any police. You know what? It must have been a very difficult decision for you, considering I'm flying there for the next 2 weeks.
Are you?
Well, you know what?
You're on the bad list.
Philadelphia's finest. I know it's difficult. Hey, listen, I know that Chris put you in an incredibly difficult position, the selfish bastard, but... No.
I mean, if you're in the need for police officers, why get rid of somebody that has 10 years of experience... If he's willing to do what he needs to do, take a leave of absence, no pay, and then come back, and maybe it was the 6 months that he was asking for. Maybe that was, maybe that broke the straw that broke the camel's back.
And
that
if you
want to
watch this, Chris talked about
to
this today too.
He talked about it in the presser. So go back and do it. And dude, it's just like if there's anybody that needs our respect, you know, obviously everybody loves Stipe. Stipe is a firefighter that helps out with that. Here's Chris, who's going out and he's a police officer, he's doing what he needs to do. We've had multiple people that have done careers sort of like that, but when it got to the point where it was the tipping point where it's like, am I going to go all in on my MMA career or am I going to try to live in this world where I have a foot in both worlds? And at some point, you have to make that decision, you know? And unfortunately for him, he felt that they pushed him in one particular direction and he jumped all in. And what surprised me and which blows my mind, and if any of you have any sort of connections to police offices, police foundations, whatever. So he's a 10-year veteran, And then for him to not do what they wanted to, they're making him go back to police academy.
Oh, yeah, they
and
said
start
he said if he
scratch.
If he leaves and starts again, he has to go
at
back
least
to the
that
academy.
In Philly. He thinks that if he goes somewhere else, maybe somebody will take that experience. And how would you not take that experience? I mean, if somebody's got 10 years on the force, you don't just wash that away because you got pissy because he didn't want to,
right.
You know, try to do both things. I mean, like, he's good enough.
Can you imagine, like, and I know he's a long way from this, but can you imagine, like, if he won the heavyweight title, right?
What he would bring to the...
You know what I mean? Yeah, and then...
Community liaison. Like, send him through the city to do whatever and police whatever. He can go to schools. He could do everything. It seems like a no-brainer to me. Like, I don't get it. And if you're that hurting for you know, police officers... I mean, it can't be that a frequent request, right? It
right.
can't be like,
yeah, yeah. Bro,
like,
if we let you go fight in the
we're
UFC's
have to
heavyweight
let George
division,
over, George's over here. He's going for the unanimous, you know, beer tossing something.
Can you imagine having that conversation? Like, bro, I mean, look, you're saying it's a special thing just for you, but I mean, really, like everybody here could be fighting
so-and-so
in the UFC.
So-and-so's in the sack race this weekend at the state fair. You know, are you going to tell me that he can't train for 6 months? You know, it just seems to me a no-brainer. And I'm sure they have their reasons or whatever. It just seems – that was the biggest shocking thing that we heard was that a guy here that was able to do both things and I assume he did his job decent, you know, to make it 10 years without them actually kicking him off the force. He must have been pretty competent. But to have him at the highest point of this career where you could bring millions and millions of eyeballs to your organization, why would you – ever get rid of him?
I don't get it.
If there's a possibility you could not pay him and just let him go do his thing and then let him come back and work in some time, like, that doesn't make any sense to
me.
I don't get it.
All right, big main event. I will say this for Derek. I mean, you know, Derek did say, by the way, because I thought maybe after that last one, you know, he'd say, I don't care about the title anymore. Like, I'm just, like, I just, no, he said, no, I want to chase the title. I want big fights. I want to get there eventually. So we'll see. And if he wins here, the good thing, his popularity, you know, he's still right there in the mix.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
But meanwhile, you know, Chris Dawkins, he wins here. Now you start talking about him with some very, very elite fighters. So big main event. I will definitely be tuned in. I think I fly home on Saturday, but I'll be home in time to watch that. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. Co-main event, Wonderboy Stephen Thompson versus Bilal Muhammad, I believe is how you say it now.
I thought you were saying Bilal earlier.
Bilal, I think is how you're supposed to say it. Not Bilal. Look, I met him when he was on the regional
stage. Like, not Bilal.
That's right. I commentated his last fight for Titan FC before he got in the UFC. So, from before he got in the UFC, I thought his name was Bilal Muhammad.
Yeah.
He's never told me it's not Bilal Muhammad. But I believe it's Bilal Muhammad.
Almost like it's B-E-L-A-U or something. Lao. Or L-A-O.
Yeah, that's probably a closer
like
sound
L-A-O,
to it.
Or like L-A-O. Yeah. With, like, because I know that's like a Chinese sound or something like that. The Lao.
I don't think he's Chinese.
What? Not, I'm just seeing the letters in my head and how you would pronounce that thing. But, yeah, he said that, and I was just like, wow, we're D-bags.
That's going to mess with me, though, man, because, you know, like –
But
like,
he never corrected anybody.
I know. That's
like, if we're blatantly calling you the wrong damn name, like, just say, guys, I keep winning. I'm back here. Let's do something for me. Let's go through the room. Say this after me. Just
Bilal.
Make everybody say
Bilal? Bilal.
Bilal.
Saban. Too good. Yeah, so anyway, I guess that's probably it. I'm intrigued by this one, too.
That's
you know,
a good fight.
I'm intrigued by this one, too. This is another one that I'm going to be honest with you. I still got to send in my picks, and I don't know exactly what my pick's going to be because, you know, Wonderboy, I think it's easy to write him off. He's been around forever.
Can't
he hasn't
off
quite
Wonder
got
Man.
It up. But you can't write off the Wonder Man. You just can't, right?
He's so funny. He said, if Tenacious D comes up with a Wonder Man song, then maybe I'll change my name. Until then, it's Wonder Boy. Dude, how can you just not love his energy and his positivity? Like, even Blau was like, he's like, oh, man, he's a terrible guy. He's just always out there talking stuff. And he's like, nah, I'm just kidding. He's like, dude, he's like, you're kind of a jerk. You know, he didn't use that word, but he was like, you're kind of a jerk if you don't like this guy. I mean, he's literally one of the nicest guys. And, like, his style, there's very few guys that we can point and look at and say, like, he just oozes traditional martial arts.
That's right.
And there's something so special about that. Like, a lot of these kids and a lot of the people that are coming up now started MMA. Mm-hmm. They're MMA fighters. They're very, very well across the whole things. He started Taekwondo and I'm sure karate and some other little stuff.
Of course, yep.
But you know, it's just fantastic. And one of the best things that I took out of what he said today was that, you know, he wanted to keep doing that. So even if he's in his 50s, even that just means that he's still doing martial arts and he's putting guys
he'll
through
train
his paces.
And he'll train
still
forever.
Doing his thing. He'll train forever. And, man, I mean, how can you not want to root for this guy? But, man, that is a tough fight. I don't want to poison your picks. I lean towards Blau on this one.
Yeah.
He's just so gritty and so tough. And, I mean, like, he's the kind of guy that he's going to walk forward. Steven needs distance to do what he needs to do.
Right.
And if Blau is not smart and rushes forward just trying to get his hands on him, Steven can catch him with something.
Right.
But if Blau's able to get in there and put his hands around him, he's just going to control him. He's just going to sort of manhandle him up against the cages. He's going to just wear the time away. And they only have 3 rounds to get this done.
And it's kind of like when you fight Wonder Boy, you kind of just got to understand that, like, the fight may be a little bit more boring than you want it to be, but, like, you don't want to get into striking exchanges with him, right? Like, nobody wants to go out there and just have a clinch fest against the cage for 3 rounds. But
if it works.
Yeah, if you know that's
how you
get it done.
Especially at this level here, where these guys are at and what they're trying to do, you know, I think we've reached the point where it's like there should be no shame for a lot of these guys when they know that they're near the top and it's like, okay, I can do what got me here.
Right.
It might not be pretty, but it keeps me winning. It keeps me in the W column and it gets me one step closer to the title. Don't feel ashamed about that.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do. Do what got you there. Don't go out there and change your fighting style to make the guy in row B, section 232 up on the top who's losing his mind. Don't do it for him. Do what you did to get there.
I remember having that conversation years. I mean, this is years and years and years ago, actually, with Rashad Evans. You know, and he was just saying, like, first of all, first of all, he said, you know, and it's so true. He's like, first of all, he's like, wrestling is a martial art. He's like, so the idea that wrestling is not a martial art, he's like, it is. And he's like, second of all, he's like, if you don't like it, stop me.
Yeah.
Stop me.
Make me not do it.
I'm boring. Yeah. It's so true. Yeah.
Do something.
Stop me about it. All right, I'm torn on that one. I don't know where I'm going with that.
Yeah, it's
one.
Not like anybody's looking at Khabib and say, Khabib, I'm not going to give you credit for that fight because you are so dominant holding me down.
I think what it is, it's definitely like it's when it gets against the cage and it just stalls there. You know what I mean?
For where 3 minutes.
Yeah, where it's not like, okay.
It's not a
like,
lot of advancing. There's maybe
Khabib's wrestling was fun,
shots.
Right? Because it was like, push, rush, advance, dominate, crush, you
smash,
know.
Smash the soul.
It's so true. So true. All right. As we continue to go on, Amanda Lamos versus I do want to say one thing about
Bilal.
Muhammad.
We're probably still saying it wrong.
Totally. Not even close. There's no way.
He's cringing somewhere.
He's like,
every
can you just go back to Bilal? Can you just go back to Bilal? He's like, it bothered
me. His name wrong. He's somewhere and he's like, his nose is itching. His ears are burning. He's like, somebody's butchering my
he's
name.
Like, just go with Bilal. It sounds way less stupid than what you're saying now. I do love the fact that, like, and maybe somebody else has done it, but I can't think about it. But going from Damian Maia to Stephen Thompson in consecutive fights, like the two most specialist in their field
completely
in that division.
Ends of the
that's
spectrum.
Pretty cool that he's doing that, man.
Dude, he's Blau is if you don't respect him for what he's trying to do, and the fighters that he's gone through, I mean it's fantastic. But yeah, I mean these two previous opponents can be no further apart. I mean, granted, even though I will say a lot of people, just like he said, people were sleeping on Damian Maia's striking at the end of the day, you know, but he got his shit together, you know. Is his striking like Wonderboy Thompson? No. But still, they're two absolute extremes, and that's so crazy. I can see where some fighters might just be like, I just put me against strikers. Put me against strikers. Let's make this a fast, like, fun, slam, rock 'em, sock 'em fight, you know. And then when you see him get put against wrestler, and like, oh, you know, where I was like, oh, it's a striker versus a wrestler. Oh, this could be boring. This, I mean, he's went against two guys that literally he has to have such a well-rounded skill set to be able to, you know, win against these two guys that, I mean, I envy what he's able to do because he can't just be a great striker and go in there against Stephen Thompson. You know, he's going to need to be able to do the whole thing. And to be able to go in against Damian Maia, like Damian Maia is just a freaking jiu-jitsu. I love Damian Maia.
I do, too. I miss that guy.
Like, props to who's what was that guy's name that did those cartoons? What was that called?
Tommy Toehold.
Jiu-Jitsu. Congrats on making a little meme video that I cannot get that shit
those
out
were
of
hilarious.
My head. That's been years. But that jiu-jitsu one with Damian
Wright.
No, he's doing like commentary or
something.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's doing
I used to watch those. Those are hilarious. Man.
Oh my god, it was his hard work. He did so good. But that jiu-jitsu one. Oh my god.
I want to see.
To this day, I cry when I hear it.
I'm hoping. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but you know, Fury Pro Grappling obviously doing some big things. You see, Rose Namajunas, yep. Danielle Kelly. The rest of that card is going to be announced. I haven't even seen the whole card yet, but I heard it's sick. So I can't
that's
wait.
That's the one that's happening.
That's January.
Tomorrow?
Or I mean, December 30th.
Oh, okay.
No, December 30th.
What's the
30th.
Thing that's happening tomorrow?
So the thing that's happening tomorrow is I think they're calling it the what's it called? The UFC Apex Classic or the UFC Fight Pass Classic or something. But it's basically
what's
like
number one.
Yeah, but it's basically like Quintet was, where it's a team grappling event, but it's LFA versus CFSC versus Fury FC versus James Krause's Fighting Lion Championship.
So cool!
It's very
what a
cool.
Unique
it's
idea.
Very cool. I wish I was going to be there, but
well,
I got to fly.
Watch it on Fight Pass.
But I'm going to watch it on Fight Pass. I'm excited.
So cool.
From what I understand, though, unfortunately, I think the LFA team is like just stacked. Like yeah. I only know two people that they have, but I know they have Rafael Lovato and Davi Hamosh. And like, to be honest with you, like I don't think they need anybody else.
Yeah.
Like,
what team is Danielle Kelly on?
Oh, she's doing an individual match.
Okay.
She's doing an individual
she's
match.
Such a stud.
I know.
Like, Rose has that Rose one, man, like, she's got her hands full.
Yeah,
like,
that'll be on December 30th.
I mean, oh, my Lord.
Yeah, Danielle Kelly's fighting tomorrow night and December 30th.
Is she really?
Yeah, she's
so
doing
she,
both of them.
Who's she taking on tomorrow?
I don't know. I'm not sure what the matchup is tomorrow.
Man, she's a little badass. Man.
Yeah.
It's so – we talk a lot of times, as much as we talk about MMA and how you have to be well-rounded, there's something so spectacular about these specialists that are so – finely tuned in one particular discipline,
yep.
And they are literally just leaps and bounds above everybody else.
Yep.
I mean, and Danielle Kelly, I mean, she is just fantastic. The first time we saw her, was she at Quintet 3? One of the ones, but I remember, I couldn't remember if she was on that, but I remember we
I
saw her
was.
On different
I
other
think
ones.
She was.
And I remember I was like, oh, look at this, you know, or I remember there was some of the other ones I saw her. She took on Cavillo.
Yep,
just worked
on,
her.
Roxy,
which right there. I mean, like, if you don't
I
think
know.
She's got skills, what she was able to do to Roxy, I mean, like, it's so fancy. It's like when you watch, like, Craig Jones and some of these other cats.
Jeez.
Where you're just like, what's the point of having the match? You know, you just almost want to just give it up, but you're like, no, let's give him a chance. You know, it's a grappler's chance, I guess, you know.
I'm anxious for the Rose match. Like, she's going up. I saw the other day. I think it's 128 pounds where she usually fights at, like, 115. And
now, are they going to do, like, that striking jiu-jitsu?
No.
What do they call it? Combat jiu-jitsu?
Yeah. We're not doing that. We're just regular jiu-jitsu. But
Daniel Kelly's so fantastic,
she's
man.
Good.
But, man, if Rose needed a little extra something, give her that little combat. Let her just bitch slap somebody.
I
think she would bitch slap me and knock me the fuck out, honestly. She's. I love Rose. I bet Rose would knock me
I'm not
the
arguing
fuck
with
out.
You. I'm not arguing with you. I think she might.
I'd be like, you'd be like, Kocoff, you going to get up? I'm like, no, I'm good.
I'm good.
Just put my grave marker right there.
What'd you tap out? She didn't even have a, you know.
Like, they said her name and she smacked the fuck out of me and I was waking up a week later.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the final USC event of the year, but we got some great grappling events to close this out.
Yeah,
Thursday night, USC Fight Pass. I'll definitely be watching that one.
That should be cool.
Mark your calendars, December 30th. That'll be in Philadelphia. I like grappling, and, you know, I know some people might not have tuned into this, but when you get the crossover athletes, I think it's fun. When you have a Rose Namajunas, when you have, you
and
know,
they love
Sean
it.
Brady's going to be on
they
there, Kevin Holland's going to be
That's
on there.
Dope.
So fun, man.
As long as we don't get some, like when we saw Cub Swanson do Quintet 3.
I'm not trying to jinx it, but he
fucked his knee up. You know, like, that's the only issue when it comes with
that's
this crossover thing. That's the scary part is that, but that's the nature of this sport, you know. These ankle locks, these knee locks, all this other stuff, but it's like, are the UFC guys and these other fighters, are they too... Is it the fact that the move is so good and so quick that they don't have a chance to tap? Or is it a matter of pride gets in there like, I can get out of this. The next thing you know.
I think it's a little bit of both.
You have an injury. It's probably a little bit of both, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be that UFC guy or the UFC gal that
especially
that
when
it
comes to the leg locks where, like, the grappling specialists are
because you don't
so
know it until it's already fucked up.
Yeah.
Right?
The grappling specialists are so good at those that, man, it happens in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? And, like, you're not used to it being torqued that fast because
God,
the skill level.
Fucking heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. You can completely scripted.
I would just tap her arm. I'm like, bro, I hear I can't feel this until it's done. I'm like, they just wrap their arm around me. I'm like, tapping, 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 done.
So true. A lot of good grappling coming up. I'll be watching it starting with Thursday night. All right, Amanda Lemos versus Angela Hill. A big matchup there. Amanda Lemos, this to me, this is where we find out if she's the real deal, right? She's got this great win streak going. She's got these first-round finishes. You know,
I'm dying to know your picks. When are you going to put your picks in? Are you going to give a little clue to the
listeners? I got to send them tonight.
Well, break it down, but I want you to – you got to give me one of the fights. You can't just make me wait till tomorrow. I want you to pick one of the fights that's like a toss-up that you think you want to pick. I'm interested to see who you would pick in this Lemos one, but if I'm only going to get one fight from you, it could be a different one. But
no, I mean, Lemos is a big favorite according to the odds makers.
Big
favorite. And I think I am. I think she is the real deal. I honestly do think she is the real deal. But I think this is going to be the one where she proves it for sure. But I like Angela Hill. You know, look. And again, I'm not discounting Angela Hill.
Yeah.
Angela Hill, I think stylistically, as she said, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to strike. I'm not afraid to get hit. I'm going to mix it up. She's like, yes, she's had some impressive finishes, but it hasn't been against the elite of the division. And all those are very legitimate questions. So
she's so fast and so powerful. Like Angela Hill, like watching her when she's on is so fantastic to watch her move. She's just so quick and so at ease, you know, that she's like when Connor, like a lot of times when Connor was smaller, not the current light heavyweight version of him. He generated so much power with his speed and his quickness, and that was like Angela. She's able to generate a lot of speed and a lot of power because she's so quick. But, you know, her record doesn't reflect, I think, how good that she actually is. I think it's just a matter of she's just running into absolutely incredible opponents on the other side, you know. I think she has every capability to win this fight.
And she even said, you know, she hasn't always necessarily strung everything together well, or she gets in spots and she doesn't work well. But athletically and skill-wise and her ability to scrap, you're absolutely right, man.
Hair is fantastic.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you have to braid that stuff for fights. But, man, looked amazing.
I like
today
how she was picking that shit out a little bit. I was like, God damn, that shit looks good. She's so fucking
hot. She's like, sit down, Sean O'Malley.
I don't need to color my shit. My shit's beautiful.
So true. So true. So I did go Lemos from now on. Rafael Sunstyle versus Ricky Simon. I say I'm going Ricky Simon in that one. I'll go Ricky Simon in that one. Sunstyle, to me, obviously, you know, a guy that's been doing it forever. A guy that says he's re-energized now. You admitted, you know, this last year was tough for him. But, man, it's just tough at this point. You know, he's one of us old guys.
Yeah.
He's one of us
old guys. Is it the bigger guy coming down on a streak that you're kind of leaning towards? I mean, Tapology still lists him as a featherweight, you know? Simone is powerful. He's super, super powerful. But we've seen him sort of break down when the pressure's been there in time, you know? I mean,
I feel like he's got that confidence flowing in. I feel like he's kind of the younger, more active, faster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just feel like he's maybe going to be able to
he's 29.
To outwork him, you know?
Where's Rafael coming
in? He's got to be 38, 39 at this point.
39. Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
And
coming
off severe injuries.
That's the thing that always gets me and I always mess up is that I still always want to go back to my memory of a fighter and what they've been able to do. And you stop looking at the little details, you know. Same with like Jacare. Jacare for me forever. I was like, I will never pick against Jacare. And now you see an older Jacare that's lost.
You're like, when did that happen?
You know, you're like, yeah. You're like, when all of a sudden did he get old? Not that his old is like my old, where I feel bad walking to the fucking bathroom here. Like he's doing high level jujitsu and mixed martial arts, but that's crazy. I didn't look at the age difference. That's big. 10 years. I mean, that's not as easy to just sort of like say, oh, okay, you know.
That's big.
It's just a number. That's a big number, man. That's a big, big number.
Here's the other one.
And he's got mullet power.
He does have mullet power. Here's the other one that's tough. Matheus Gamrot versus Diego Ferreira. Ferreira, the more proven commodity in the UFC, but Matheus has that insane record.
Yeah.
You know, after the initial setback against a guy, by the way, that I rate, you know, that I think is a talented fighter. You know, just went out and absolutely demolished Jeremy Stephens last time out. 19-1 is insane.
Yeah, nobody demolishes Jeremy Stephens,
no,
man.
Diego Fajeda, though, a guy that I think has been consistently underrated throughout his career. a guy that I've always been interested in. You know, he does, you know, we've talked about today the 9 hour drive back and forth between the RGV and Dallas to train.
Yeah.
But
I mean, he's got safe power.
He does have safe.
He got that safe corner, man. Like, I will go on the record and say safe's got, he's a bit of a trump card at times. When you are down and out, there's nothing like a dude yelling you and saying what he needs to say. Like, but maybe that's me homering as well. I mean, like, that'll only go so far because we've seen some of his fighters recently lose. But I hate to admit that. But, dude, this is a really, really good fight. And it's, like, another one where it's, like, two guys that are very, very nice guys.
Yep.
Like, I mean, this whole card, like, you don't see any – like, there's no – the personalities that you're just like, oh, man, so-and-so, man, he's a real D-bag. I hope so-and-so gets him. Like, this card
is, not that we would,
like,
ever say that about anybody.
Yeah.
We're professionals.
Yeah. As we drink another beer. Like, this is a card of, like, good people. Like, it's tough, man. And you're in a tougher spot because the picks are now getting down the wire where it's like, I'm way too often swayed by my personal feels of a fighter and how I actually like how they carry themselves. You know, if they're a good person, I'd more rather pick the good person than the guy that's, like, just the shit talker if the skills are sort of equal. This is a tough one. This is a tough one. But, man, you got the safe, you know, trump card. I'm like, damn. I got a homer, even though you haven't homered a couple times this year. So don't let me sway you. If you're not feeling it, don't homer. Bring the trophy home for the MMA Roadshow. Don't let me homer it.
Oh, no.
Bring it home. Pick the smartest one. Like, I mean, Diego, I think one of the great things about him, do you feel confident that in this fight he can carry that durability and that speed and that power all the way through if he doesn't have his way right from the get-go, or is he going to wear down?
I mean, I think his durability is there, and I think that, you know, like, I love his heart. I love his scrambling. I love his, you know, just kind of ability to make it a fight. But, you know, and Matau said it today. He's like, yeah, he's like, he's got good jiu-jitsu. No question about it. He's like, but I got that new school jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? We're sitting here talking about grapplers
he's
and about, like,
so
the evolution
badass,
of it.
Man.
I know. And he's like, you know, now if Diego can keep it on the feet.
And hurt him.
Yeah. Now
but
we're
we
talking.
Haven't seen anybody hurt him.
I know. I know.
It's so tough. It's funny because I want to call him Mateus, and it's not at all.
No.
But his name is spelled
Don't mispronounce somebody's name throughout their entire career. That would be ridiculous of you.
He goes up there, I'm like, Mateus. He's like, who? Huh? Who? My name's Mataus, motherfucker. Don't make me come over and wrap you into a pretzel, motherfucker.
What is it about these slick-ass grapplers and their glasses, right? Charles Oliveira got them glasses. Mataus got them glasses.
Like, you know, it's funny. I think, I don't know, when I was younger, everybody used to always joke about glasses and they would say, oh, they look nerdy or whatever. I think glasses are super attractive and sexy now. Not that I'm
saying
him.
And you thought that after these past two UFC events?
I look at Mataus, I'm like, my God, he's got glasses on. No, but I just think people give glasses a rough, you know, I don't know, play. If you have glasses and you're rocking it, fucking rock it. I think glasses are attractive.
By the way, folks, this is the COVID-19 talking. Please excuse cold coffee.
The
COVID-19 is definitely that. In fact, that right there that qualifies as a positive test, right? Just that last statement alone. We now know.
So what, you don't like the glasses?
Cold coffee. Yeah. No, I just something I've never even thought of.
They're sexy.
Sir, I'm a married man. I don't allow myself to have a wandering guy.
Go home, take some random glasses, sunglasses, put them on your girl, and just look at her and be like, oh, yeah. And then do that Simba, that weird Simba thing that everybody's doing on TikTok. Have you seen that?
What is it?
It's so weird. Like, they take, like, some, like, goo or something, and they go up, they walk up to him, and they spread it on their forehead, and they're like, Simba. It's a weird TikTok thing. I don't know.
You're on TikTok?
I look at it. Well, no, most of the TikToks go on Instagram. So I see it on Instagram.
I don't even know you anymore.
it's not me talking. This is the COVID. It's the COVID worm that loves glasses and Simba.
Who knew? Cold coffee. TikTok enthusiast.
I've been working on my dance routine, man. just for the talk. Just for the talk. That's what the kids
the
call
talk.
It. That's what the kids call
they
it.
They don't call it for the talk.
They
don't.
It's not. Obviously, I'm not on the talk, I guess. Is it on the tick? That sounds even worse.
I'm doing it for the talk.
I'm doing it for the talk.
It's so ridiculous. So ridiculous. Oh, my God.
It's funny.
All right, listen. All right, last one of the main card, Cub Swanson versus Darren Elkins. I'll be honest. I think I'm leaning Cub in this one, but, you know, you can never count Darren Elkins out of a fight. He's one of those guys, it doesn't matter who you're competing against.
He was so funny today. He said probably the funniest line that he didn't even mean to be funny. And if you guys didn't hear it, there was a point where you asked him about bleeding and about just like, you know, what his fights always go. And he was like, I'm pretty sure when I go in there and I walk across and I look across the octagon, when I see my opponent, I'm pretty sure I'm going to start bleeding at that point.
It was good.
Dude, I about rolled. I was like, that was the best fucking line. I don't know if he's made that joke before. If he has and I never heard it.
If it was just off the cuff, it was pretty solid.
It was the best. It was pretty solid. Like, I fucking love this.
So it was
dude.
Funny. So basically when talking to Cub, and Cub was very open and honest, introspective as he always is, you know, yeah. talking about where he stands. But he even admitted, he was like, I'll be disappointed if I don't make him bleed. And I told Cub, I was like, I'm pretty sure he'll be disappointed if he doesn't bleed. Like, I think that's what Darren just likes to do. So when Darren was there, I just kind of asked him. I was like, well, this is what I said earlier. I'm like, was I right? And he was like, bro, he's going to look at me. I'm going to start bleeding.
I'm going to bleed.
It was pretty funny.
Oh, that's so good. Darren's awesome, man. What a unique character, man. When the day comes when characters like Darren aren't around, I think people will feel the void of his personality and his fight style.
Yep.
He's always 110% forward. He's willing to take as much damage as possible. This is not what you want as like a coach or a loved one or whatever. But Darren's always gives us what we want. And the day when he stops fighting will be a sad, sad day. I love his fucking tattoo on his chest and everything. He's just so,
so crazy.
So bizarre.
I remember when he put that in.
Now, if he had glasses on, I would just, I'd probably just blow a load right there.
Oh, my God. It's the COVID talking. It's the COVID talking. Listen.
Oh, that's good shit.
Final USC event of the year. Loaded prelim card as well. It's going to be a full night. Was interesting to note that, and I saw somebody report it earlier, but it's on our bout sheet as well, that Raquel Pennington versus Macy Chasson, both ranked women's bantamweight fighters, is actually taking place at featherweight. So I'm not sure exactly if what happened there, if one of them requested it or what the matchup was there about.
Chasson.
Maybe it's – yeah, let's be honest. It
she
was
had
probably,
issues it, last time. Raquel doesn't have issues. She makes it.
I wouldn't think so. Or, I mean, hell,
who
maybe
knows?
This is – I mean, maybe this is –
when we saw,
I can't
when we,
say it. I was going to say.
It's the Paulo Costa rule, where he's like, just if you let me fight heavier, I will give you a better show. That's it. It's the Paulo Costa rule.
I was wondering if maybe it had anything to do with like.
I guess that's two weight classes up.
They're going to come in and fight at women's welterweight, which is amazing. I was wondering if maybe, you know, I mean, I can't imagine the UFC had anything to do with it because, you know, I was thinking like maybe like the UFC was like, well, do y'all want to fight 45 just so we have 45 matchups happening? But
yeah.
I bet it was one of them. I'm just, again.
I agree, but
I'm
that
just
does
guessing.
Make sense
I'm
when
just
you
guessing.
Say that. That does actually make sense. I mean, like the fact that now the possibility that the 45 belt, the queen has been beaten.
Yep.
You know, if there is the possibility of having that belt back up for, you know, demand, you need to have a division. You need to have people. And as much as we've said, like, or made our peace with the fact that if the 45 division goes away, we're like, okay, that's cool. But it's like, that kind of sucks. You know, we want to have division so fighters at different weight classes can actually fight. And it'd be great if they can then the next logical, because it's going to be hard to get rid of featherweight and then maybe try to do a lightweight. You can't have lightweight and then jump down to bantamweight. That doesn't make any damn sense, you know. And eventually, I think the lightweight division should be there for the women. You know, but this is the first step. I mean, you got to keep that featherweight division.
What's your gut instinct on Kayla? Because I see so. And why I ask?
As for where she's going to go?
Yeah, you know, look. Obviously, I'm a Kayla Harrison fan, man. I think
she's
legit.
Fantastic.
But you know, you see this little back and forth she's having with Pena.
Yeah.
Where you know Pena and I wonder. And look, Juliana Pena. I'm sure she threw that out there as a little bait the other day. You know, when she said she's been fighting in the beat.
It's money in the
bag.
It's
money. It's money. She threw it out. She knew exactly what she was doing.
Kayla would smash
her. So she
threw
it out there. I know.
Is that a hot take? Is that a hot take right from the get-go?
I don't think so.
While I think Juliana has good wrestling, has good ground game, it's not the level. I mean, I was ready to say that Amanda is not ready to take when it gets into there. I mean, these two have been training. Like, Kayla's the future. she is literally the future. She's going to just manhandle, women handle people. I mean, and if her and Pena meet up, she's going to fucking smash her. She's going to smash her. I mean, it's not like what we saw when it was who was the boxer that just fought recently?
Clarissa Shields.
Kayla is, she's gotten her reps in, man. She's fucking amazing. She's dangerous.
The idea when people said like they should fight, I always said that was ridiculous. Yeah. So here's what I, so look, there's money on the table for Kayla Harrison, no question about it. PFL wants to pay her to stay. Bellator wants her to come over. UFC's not going to get her cheap. They're going to have to pay for it. And I'm not saying I'm not saying Conor McGregor money, but they're going to have to pay for it.
Yep.
Is it worth paying her to come fight Juliana Pena, or was it only worth paying if she was fighting Amanda Nunes?
I think so. Because I think,
you think it's still worth it?
I mean, I think when it was – no, I'm sorry. I think when it was Juliana – I'm sorry, when it was Amanda, it was worth it.
Right.
At this point, all you're doing is recreating the current situation.
Right.
You got a champ that no one could beat. And then how do you have a division that's based around it? You know,
right.
I mean, I think if anything else, I wouldn't mind if she goes back to PFL and just gets another easy – well, I don't want to say easy million, but those things are super easy for her. Bellator, she has more opportunity, I think, to fight maybe challengers, but I think she would still run through Bellator. The only organization that has a chance of providing a somewhat challenge, and this is me just sticking my foot possibly in my mouth, is that even the UFC, I think she's gonna wreck shop. She's going to absolutely wreck shop. So any other organization she goes to, she should just be happy that she's getting a huge paycheck and the time's going to go. She's still – it's not like when we were looking at Cyborg and it was like, man, Cyborg – it's when Cyborg's become depleted that others are going to start beating her when she's doing it.
Right.
Kayla's on her way up, you know. I mean, she hasn't taken all the crazy damage that all these other – and her judo and her ground game is so leaps and bounds above. And what I liked about that last fight was that she was willing to stand and trade with people. Now, is that smart against the top level? Maybe not.
Maybe not.
I mean, I was surprised, and I'll be the first to admit, man, I was so wrong when it came to Amanda and Juliana striking. I thought Juliana had nothing for her. I thought Amanda was just going to smash her. And I'll be the first to say, I was so wrong. She took every bit of the punishment and gave it back. But the thing with Kayla, Kayla's not going to get –
it wasn't pretty, but it was effective.
And Kayla's not going to say, like, let's make this a striking match. For some reason,
no,
Amanda wanted it to stay striking, you know? Like, the only time she went in there and initiated a grab was when she was hurt. I was like, you have a decent person that's good on the ground and decent with grappling, and you're only going to engage after you've been hurt? Like, it's not a smart plan. I think there was a point where you could see it in her face after she took some shots that the light kind of went out a little bit. There was doubt that creeped in, and Juliana was like, nothing's going to stop me at this point, you know? She's like, I birthed a child. I felt pain.
Wow.
She said that.
I know.
She even said it. She was like, and it was just kind of like a weird mom slight.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She said it, but I think everybody at this point has been like, that was kind of weird of you to say.
But it was weird, but it was like, for her, she was like, I didn't just have somebody else birth my kid. Like, I pushed it out, you know? But she's tough as nails, man, but Kayla right now, I maybe I'm just a homer on that. I would put Kayla against anybody at this point right now. So whoever is willing to pay the amount of money, but you got to do it smart. If the UFC brings her in and she literally demolishes the featherweights, if that's what she comes in at, I mean, I know she's typically fighting heavier. What is that different than what she has right now with Amanda? Like, you have a division that nobody can fight in because there's no talent. You know, might as well get four fights out of her if the money is decent in Bellator or PFL, you know. I mean, and every time she gets another win, her star rises, and she could ask for even more money when she comes over. So I could see her going to Bellator or going to PFL, get that another championship, or going to Bellator and just wrecking shop, beating Cyborg, and then coming back to Dana and say, you need to give me the largest signing bonus that's ever happened in the UFC, and he'll make it happen. How crazy is that? Connor didn't come in with a huge, crazy signing bonus. Connor built himself up. But I could see Kayla coming in and making that be the big PR push, is that she has the largest signing bonus of any fighter that comes into the UFC because she come in at such a hot level. And they'll pay it. Because at that point, if she's wrecked shop for another year in another division, she's beat Cyborg, give her everything.
And that's headlines, right? I mean, you make that public, sure, right?
You make it
public.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Of course you do. Because then everybody's like, who's this person that just, they're making, they signed her for more than what they signed Connor for? They don't realize Connor had to build himself up.
Right.
Connor didn't start a superstar. Connor, that's the great thing about Connor's story, is that he built himself up from nothing. He pulled himself up. She's at a point where she's like, buy me. Bring me in at what I need to get, you know. And when it happens, man, they'll make a complete spectacle of it because you have to. Because then you're getting your money's worth because you're paying. That's an advertising play, you know, at that point. So
I dig it. I dig it. All right, well, listen.
I went off alone. That's COVID speaking.
I like it. I like it. See, the COVID has positives, the COVID has negatives. You know,
I haven't lost track because of the boobs yet. Like, that was really, really weird last time I lost my chain of thought because of boobs. Which, I mean, if there's anything to lose your chain of thought, like.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
And they were glorious.
I'm just owning it. I'm just owning it.
I know. All right, listen. COVID making jokes, not me.
Turning over fight week to you and young Mike Bond. You guys will have full UFC Fight Night 199 coverage. I am, or maybe not. Maybe you'll be at home for the next 3 days.
I'm hoping. Fingers
We're
crossed.
We're going to find out tomorrow.
Fingers crossed. I'm going to feel great tomorrow.
We're going to find out tomorrow. I am jumping on a plane at 7 a.m. to head out to Philadelphia, and then from there out to Atlantic City. For CFFC 104, so please do me a favor, tune in on USC Fight Pass Friday night for that. I'll fly back on Saturday.
With your boy CM.
My boy CM Punk, and then Saturday night we'll do the and a half episode after.
You ever guys just done. talk wrestling? Do you ever just like tell him to like fill you in on?
No,
shit
no, we do actually. Time? No, he's actually taught me a lot, man. I've when we're like hanging out, like having dinner or something that, just whatever. I'll be like.
Dude,
kind of bring up certain things.
He was on top of the world. Yeah. He was like the big. Well, I don't know. Maybe wrestling. Our wrestling like, people tell me I'm stupid. He was like the pinnacle.
Well,
right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know about shot wrestling, but it was actually kind of cool. Like, now I'm gonna sound as stupid as I am, but like,
But did he have glasses?
When they had like the anniversary of the pipe bomb or whatever, where he spoke against
Atlanta?
WWE or whatever. You're talking about, that was anyway.
Saying,
that's
like,
what it was
real
called.
Shit.
Anyway, it was like him speaking out against Vince and the WWE, and it was like. Like it was like part scripted but part not.
Did
and all
a fucking pipe bomb on the show?
No, it's just what it was called.
Oh, okay. I was like, dude, that's pretty shitty. All right, obviously I don't watch enough.
It was a speech, okay. But I don't know. So it was kind of cool to talk to him about that because like I watched it. It was like the anniversary of it. Like even like SportsCenter was tweeting about
really?
It and stuff. And I was like, I watched it and I was like, man, this is cool. Like he's so good on the mic. And then like it's kind of funny to be able to like. And I'm sure there's like. Real pro wrestling fans.
It's all from
like,
learning from you.
I'm sure.
I mean, just watching you.
I'm sure there are
better.
Real pro wrestling fans. Like, I hate you, John Morgan, because it would be like my dream
so
to talk
jealous.
To CM Punk, and I'm just like
haters.
So, dude, tell me about
haters.
This pipe bomb thing. What was that about?
Haters.
You remember that time you did that? That was cool. You know what I mean?
What were you feeling when you beat the one guy in that one episode when it was like the storylines were this and that and blah, blah, blah?
It was,
haterade.
It's fun to get to hear him talk about it. Now, like, it's been crazy. Like he wrestled a dude recently that was like he took a picture with as a little kid.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just cool stuff, man. So, yeah,
I'm
still
happy
not
a, for him, man. Good for him.
No, I am too, man. CM Punk, I know that a lot of people, UFC this, that CM Punk is a good dude, man.
I mean, he carries the broadcast. Yeah. So, I mean, luckily you have him around
Bro.
To help carry it. You
I
know,
mean,
for the
thank
show.
God for him. I wouldn't have a job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Rob, good job.
Carrying
him on board.
Carrying the dead weight that I am. All right, anyway, listen.
Does
CFSC.
He have glasses on?
So ridiculous. CFSC 104, Friday night, USC Fight Night 199. MMA Junkie will have you covered there. I'm going to take a couple days off and enjoy that. And, of course, Christmas is next week. You know, so most podcasts that you listen to, obviously they're going to be like, hey, get ready for our Best Of edition next week.
No.
Not the MMA Road
no.
Show. Why? Because we don't have enough Best Of over 350 episodes to put together.
It'd be the worst of.
I mean, the worst
it'd be
of.
Like,
we could
it'd be like
fill
we
up.
Just start with New Orleans and then just work our way
Maybe
from there.
Throw in a little Scotland in there or something like that. We got all kinds of stuff. But,
yeah.
But yeah, we'll come at you with fresh content. Plus, and a half, patreon.com/the MMA Road Show. In the meantime, I got to go. I got a flight that leaves. I had a flight that leaves in like 12 hours. They haven't even started packing yet, so I probably should go do that.
I think as a call to action, everybody should send me pictures of their girlfriend and their women with glasses.
That is so bizarre.
That wasn't me. That was the COVID.
The
word.
COVID is talking.
Yeah, it's like a parasite. It's just controlling the mouth.
What would you use
mouth.
Those pictures for? Just out of curiosity.
Just put on the site.
Oh, just like to build a gallery.
Yeah, I'm like you know, hey, look at the fun listeners. Our listeners have hot chicks with glasses.
For most people, I'm going to hope you've turned it off at this point. But if you haven't, let me just say, I feel sorry for you. But thanks for listening.
We'll be right back.